Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. I'm glad you're with me tonight because I'm going to speak especially to those of you who are struggling with the will to go on. That means you're at a point of despair, and I know that sometimes people are here at the ranch because they really need some major touch from God, or else they're not sure if they're going to be able to make it any farther. People in ministry, people who are just in the workplace, people who are out of work, people who are struggling with health problems. And they're coming here for healing and restoration. And I just want to encourage you that that's exactly what Jesus came for. That's why he is here for you and for me. This is from Isaiah 61, talking about Jesus. It says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." God wants to lift that spirit of despair off of you. In fact, that's why he sent Jesus here to earth, to die for you and die for me, to die for our sins, but also to give us life abundant. And if you don't feel like you're living that abundant life right now, we're going to pray at the end of this broadcast, and I'm going to pray that God would give you the will to go on, that he would give you that will that would just say, I am going to go on. I am going to believe in faith that God has a purpose for me, and I believe that that's going to make a solid, strong, and lasting difference in your life. So I hope you'll join me as we talk about tonight the will to go on. I'm going to play a little bit on the piano, and I want you just to think about God and just to spend some time with him in prayer. And I've put some special scriptures on the screen for you as well. So if you want to click on the button that says Message Notes, you'll be able to read along and just look through some scriptures that I have picked especially for tonight that would give you some encouragement that Jesus is there for you. So if you would read those right now while I play and just enjoy this time with God, then we'll come back and I'll walk you through an outline that's on your screen and give you three reasons why God wants you to go on. That song is called Beautiful, Beautiful. Jesus is beautiful, and Jesus makes beautiful things of my life. He really can make beautiful things out of our life. And let me give you a few scriptures why I can say that and why I can say that with confidence. The first is, if you're in a place of despair tonight and you're just not sure if you can go on, I want you to know that you're in good company. By that I mean, there are people living in our generation who are also were in places of despair and were very anxious that nothing was going to happen with their lives. In fact, they were wanting God to take their lives. In the same way, there are some biblical characters who were doing the same thing, and I'll walk you through a few of those And it turns out that in each of those cases, it was after that period of despair that God used them sometimes the most powerfully of their whole life. And so I want you to know that you're in good company, and you may be in for something ahead of you that is super and stupendous. There was a man I heard of last week who he said he was just in such a state of despair that he was going to a particular city, and he said to his wife, he said, "If I don't receive a touch from God when I go there, I'm not sure that I'm going to come back." And she didn't know if that meant I'm not coming back to her, or not coming back to the church, not coming back to life. This was a pastor, and he had just had it, and he was just ready to give up. And he went, and God spoke to him and touched him in that hotel room where he was. And he came back, and a revival broke out at his church that has lasted for many months now, and every night there's a service there as they continue to see God work and heal people and touch people and work in their lives. The same thing happened for a man named Randy Clark about 5 years ago. And he was at a point where he was about ready to give up, and he said, I can't take it anymore. And he began just calling out to God and begging to God and saying, "God, please, I need your touch, I need your help." And God met him, and he went and spoke at a little church near an airport in Toronto. And I don't know if you've heard of the Toronto Blessing or what you may think of it, but whatever you may think of it, there are thousands of people every day now for the last 5 years who have come to that church just to receive a touch from God from all over the world. And it has spawned revivals and touched people's lives all over the world because this one man who was brokenhearted called out to God and said, "God, I just need you so badly. Will you come and show up in my life?" And God did that. You may know Billy Graham. Billy Graham had a similar crisis of faith, and he was very concerned about his beliefs, and they were being challenged on every front, and he was starting to question a lot of what he had been taught and what he could really believe. And he went out in the woods and just stood before God and just said, "God, what am I to do?" And God instilled in him a deep faith and a deep love for the Word of God, for the Bible, that brought him through that dark time. And when he came out of that, he had his Los Angeles crusade and revival, and he saw more people over those weeks come to Christ than any revivalist has ever seen before or since. And he has now filled the stadiums of the world to overflow capacities. In every stadium he's preached, it has been a larger crowd than they have ever had for any sporting event or any other activity in that stadium worldwide, all after a crisis of faith that you may be going through as well. In the Bible, we read about Moses, and he was in the desert for 40 years after he had killed a man and was trying to deliver his people from a terrible situation. And yet God sent him out into the desert for 40 years where all he was doing was taking care of sheep. And God brought him out of that period, called him back into service. In fact, when they call in the reserves in the army, that means they're calling people to serve again, to re-serve. And God may be calling that on you too tonight. He wants you to reserve. He wants you to re-serve for him and come back in and get back in the game, because he's going to rehabilitate you. He's going to heal your wounds. He's going to bind up your broken hearts. David, the same way, he was running around in caves, even after God had said he was going to make him a great ruler and a great king. Here, David was hungry. He was in the caves. He was cold. And yet God did pull him out of that situation and brought him to be one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel. Paul, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was hungry, and yet he wrote most of the New Testament of the Bible. Elijah ran for his life after doing incredible miracles for God. He ran away and he just said, "God, just take my life. I don't want to do this anymore." But God said, "No, Elijah," and he sent a ministering angel down to Elijah to come and comfort him, to feed him, and to restore him back to health so Elijah could go on and do the things that God needed him to do the rest of his life. Jonah, the same thing, said, "Take my life, God." And yet Jonah saved a city of over 400,000 people. Jesus, in the garden, he bled sweat, or his sweat came out like blood, because he was in such anguish, in such torment, and even as he died on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Maybe you're feeling that way tonight, but I want you to know that the cross wasn't the end. Jesus rose again 3 days later. He rose victorious, and he was given the highest position right next to God at the right hand of God. Jesus says the same thing for you. He calls you blessed if you're mourning. He calls you, let me read it from his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And on and on. God says that you are blessed. Jesus says that you are blessed, and he knows, because he's been poor in spirit. He's shown mercy when people haven't shown him mercy. He's done all of these things that you are going through right now. And he loves you very much, and he's going to take care of you, and he's going to walk you through this. Lana, can I have my tea on the table there? In Ecclesiastes, it says that there are seasons for everything. And you may just be in a season of your life. Thank you. You may just be in a season of your life where it is very discouraging and very much full of despair. I'm going to tell you a story or two towards the end about my own life and how God has brought us through some seasons of life that have been very difficult for us. And yet, God has brought us through to the other side. And there will probably be more seasons in our life that we have to go through. But God, each time, builds our faith, builds our perseverance. And it says, this faith-building time must do its work so that we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God doesn't want you to lack one thing, so he's going to do whatever it takes to make you mature, complete, full of faith, and able to endure. So I just want to encourage you, this may just be a season that you're going through, and you will come out of it. There is a time to mourn and a time to laugh, a time for sorrow and a time for dancing. And I'm going to pray tonight that you will come through and you'll be laughing and dancing very soon. Let me go to my second point. And that is, so what do you do when you're in this state? How do you live with it? How do you go through it? Jesus, he said some words that I want to repeat to you. This is in John 16, verse 33. God is not surprised that you're going through a difficult time. In fact, Jesus predicted it, said it would happen, and told you how to deal with it. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus knew it. He told his disciples, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now, if you caught those little words in there, how can you have peace? Two little words, in me. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. The way to have peace as you go through these troubles is to come to Christ again and again and again. You may have been a Christian for many years, or you may be watching and you're not a Christian at all. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian for this to apply. If you come to Christ again and again, you will have peace. He says, my peace I give you. I don't give you peace like the world gives, but my peace I give you. Jesus is going to give you a peace that passes understanding, and you won't even be able to understand it. You'll be sitting in the midst of despair, in the midst of terrible circumstances, and yet you'll have a peace. We read last week about a man who was in jail for 14 years. He was in a cell buried deep under the ground. He saw no one except when they slid the food under his door. He could talk to no one, none of the other prisoners. They could just tap out on the walls in Morse code. They could tap and talk to each other. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a scripture. He didn't have light. He had nothing for 14 years. And yet, he said, within a few days of being there, I had this overwhelming peace that came upon me. And most of the prisoners there who believed in Christ had that peace. Somehow God will give you that peace. He will sustain you. And you won't even be able to explain it. Paul says it's a peace that passes understanding. I'm going to pray tonight that you will get that peace as well if you don't have it right now. Jesus said in John 15, 27, my peace I give you. Now, as you come to Christ, how can you do that? John 15, 5 tells us, this is Jesus. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's just like a vine of grapes, and there's a vine, and then there's the grapes. Well, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches that bear fruit, the little grapes. And Jesus says that we won't be able to bear fruit, those little grapes, unless we stay on the vine. If we as branches jump off the vine, we are going to shrivel up and die. The only way to bear fruit, the only way to have life, is to remain in the vine. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Draw your strength from his strength, your hope from his hope, your life from his life. Jesus wants you to come to him again and again. Tonight we'll pray that. Jesus, I am coming to you, and I need your strength. I need your life. I need your power. I need your faith. And Jesus will fill you with that as we pray. One more in Matthew 11:28, where it talks about Jesus saying, come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't that sound good, to have rest for your souls? Jesus says the way to get that is to come to me and take my yoke upon you. We're going to ask Jesus to carry our burdens. The third thing I want to say is what God spoke to me this morning as I was preparing this message, and I said, what do you want me to tell these people? And God said, tell them that it's worth it to continue on. Tell them that I will make it worth their while. If you can get the will to go on, and you get it from Christ, then you will carry on, and God will make it worth your while. Here's just a couple verses of how he will make it worthwhile. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't become weary in doing good, because at the proper time you will reap a harvest. Can you imagine a harvest? That's a lot more than just picking a corn out of the field. You get the whole harvest. You're going to reap a harvest for you and for others if you do not give up. I want to encourage you not to give up. Also, in Mark, there's a verse that says, when we give up things, God will give us 100 times back. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. If you give your life to Christ fully and totally, and again, I'm talking to Christians as well as non-Christians, we need to continue to give our life to Christ. We need to continue to give it over and say, God, you live through me. I can't live anymore. You work through me. I can't do it anymore. Your hands take over my hands. Your feet take over my feet. Your mouth take over my mouth. Let me see the way you see. Let me hear the way you hear. Let Jesus so fill your life and fill your body and fill your spirit that you can't help but have the strength and energy to go on, because it's not you anymore doing it. It's Jesus Christ doing it through you. That's what happens when we invite Christ into our life. Let me tell you a brief story about some of our own situations in the last few years. A couple years ago, my wife was in a situation. We'd had 3 children, and we were very thankful for them, and they were great. And we got pregnant again. We were expecting another baby, and I was out of state at the time, and I got a call from Lana saying that she had started to bleed, and she was only a couple months along in the pregnancy. And I flew back home and came to be with her, and it turned out that she had actually gone through that whole labor process and had miscarried the baby in the bathroom and had the little baby. And when I walked in the door, she was crying, and she was with a couple friends, and she had this little tiny baby, not much bigger than my pinky, in the palm of her hand. And you could see this little child, a little, what was it, Lana, 8 weeks old baby. And you could see the little eyes, and you could see the little fingers, and see the little toes. And as I just took that baby from her and held it in my hands, and we just cried out to God. And Lana had been through that incredibly exhausting and painful process, and plus the whole emotional trauma of it. And then for weeks and months later, dealing with that, and why, God, why did you take this baby? What happened to this? And it wasn't God who took the baby. It's Satan who is the one who steals and kills and destroys. But we continue to struggle with that. And then we got pregnant again and lost another baby the same way. And again, lost another baby. And 4 times we lost children through miscarriage this way over a period of 2 years. And it was a very hard time, and you wonder if you're ever going to have children again. You wonder what's wrong. And yet today, Lana was telling me that she was sitting there rocking our new child, who's 9 months old today, rocking him to sleep and just looking at him and just feeling his precious body, because God did allow us to conceive and did allow that child to come forth. For whatever reason, we were in a season of our life when that simply wasn't happening. And it was a trying time and a hard time. But God brought us through that, and we're now in a new season. And there are seasons when we are laughing and dancing, and there are seasons when we are mourning and crying. The same way, a year ago this week, we were driving out of another state after having been released from my job because there was no longer any money to pay me for that position at the church. And Len and I did not have any assurance of what we were going to do next. We knew that we were going to start this ministry. God had called us to it, but we had no funds, no financing, no money in the bank, no health insurance, nothing that was going to carry us through. And yet God himself carried us through. And here, a year later, we are doing exactly what God has called us to do. He has provided for us. He has cared for us. He gave us the will to go on, and we are continuing on. I don't say these things as tearjerker stories or to say, oh, woe is me, because my situation is not very terrible at all. When I think about the things that are going on in people's lives, and maybe in your life, you're going through some things that are just utterly devastating, and I don't want to minimize those in any way. But I have known that through these things, we have had the strength of God and the strength of Christ to carry us through. And as hard as it is, and how many questions we have, we come back to Christ again and again. For he's the source of life. He's the author of life. He's the source of your faith and the author of your faith, and he's going to perfect it. He's going to mature you. He's going to complete the good work that he began in you. Do you believe me? I hope you do. You don't have to take my word for it, though. Take God's word for it. Open your Bible. Get into it. Read it. Look at the scriptures that I put on the screen. Read them again and again. Memorize them. Store them up in your heart. Let God's word on these issues sink into your heart. Again, as I told you, this is why Jesus came, to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort those who mourn, to bring dancing to his people. And I want to pray that right after I play a little song here on the piano. Right now, I want you to do business with God. I want you to just spend some quiet time with God and say, God, what Eric is telling me, some of it's hard to hear, but I know it's true. I know it's right. And you may be crying right now just listening to it. God is touching your heart, and you just sit there before the Lord and just say, oh God, speak to me. Tell me what you want me to know, and bind up my broken heart. We'll pray in just a minute, all together. Thank you. It sure feels good to be in the presence of God. I hope that you've experienced His presence just in that prayer time. Let me continue praying for you that God's blessings would pour out on you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us, for dying for us, for coming to this world to bind up our broken hearts, to heal our wounds, to die for our sicknesses and our diseases. Lord, as you touched the lepers, touched the blind, touched the lame, Lord, as you raised the dead and walked on water, we believe, God, as we reach out to you, that you can touch us as well, that you will give us the will to go on. God, I pray for those watching right now who need the will to go on, that you would put that deep in their hearts right now, just like lightning in their soul, Lord, just like the warm power of God. I pray it would melt over their hearts and their lives right now. And just give them that peace that passes understanding. Lord, just like the water flows from a water tower and goes out into the whole city, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now would flow out through this medium, throughout the internet, Lord, and just water people in their homes, people at work, Lord, who need your touch. God, I pray that you would just pour that out, just flow that through right now, Lord. Just as a flowing through a vessel, Lord, I flow that out right now, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would feel it. I pray it would touch you. And I pray it would make a difference in your life tomorrow and the next day and for the rest of your life. God, I pray that the people who are watching would have a deep love for your word. They would want to read your Bible and find out what else it has to say to them. That they would want to open it every day. That they wouldn't let a day go by without reading your words and without hearing what you have to say to them. God, for anyone who doesn't yet know your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray right now that they would be willing to give their life to someone who has given their life for them. Because Jesus gave his life so that we might be free. And without that, we'll never be able to bear fruits. We'll never be able to come to the vine unless we come to Christ. If you're watching right now and you need to come to Christ, you can say a simple prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sins. I repent of them, and I ask you to forgive me. Take over my life. Fill up my heart, my body, my hands, my feet. Let me speak as you speak, and hear as you hear, and see as you see. Let me do the things that you do and you want me to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that, you've just received the greatest gift. Not only the peace that comes with it, but you receive eternal life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So if you've done that today and you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, I can declare to you that you will be saved. You will have eternal life with God forever. And that is a peace that will never leave you and that can be there forever for you. Lana, any other words for tonight? I've just enjoyed this time speaking the word of God to you and declaring the truth of God to you, that it's worth it to go on, and God will make it worth your while to go on. If you need more encouragement, look through some of the stories on the ranch, or if you'd like to talk to me and talk to some other people who would pray for you, you can join us in the chat room after the live broadcast, or find me later in the week on ICQ, and the instructions are on the Talk to Someone page, or if you would like to email me at pokey@theranch.org, I would be glad to respond to you personally and pray for you and just encourage you in whatever God is doing in your life and let you know that He's there, He's real, He's alive, and He really does care about you. Thanks for coming, and I hope you'll join me again next week on Live from the Ranch.